amazing. He's an awesome God. This time we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11. Also want to announce that we have fire Bibles. As you know, we order these Bibles in bulk, and we just sell them for what we buy them for. We can buy ours each. I've got your sister Denise saved for you. But if you want one of these fire Bibles, they're the hardcovers. We have them up here after the service. You can get one. I think they're, did I just tell you the price? $22. Amen. It's all right. If you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto a young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side." But he told not his father, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibbeth under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Anath, the son of Etob, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the son of the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sina. The forefront of the one was Asinut northward over against Michmash, and the other southward against Gibbeth. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, "Come and let us go over the garrison of these uncircumcised, and it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to give or to save by many or by few." And the armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart." Opportunity again to come into the sanctuary. We thank you for what we feel in the church this morning. We feel the presence of the living Savior. We thank you for the anointing of this music, this anointed musicians. We ask you for that anointing that makes preaching effective this morning to rest upon these lips of clay and anoint every ear that we can hear what the Spirit would say. And we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. I'm going to read verse 2 again. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibbeth under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were there were about 600 men. Skipping down to verse 4 one more time. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other. I'm going to preach to you on the simple for God. I believe that every child of God should have a different mentality than what the world has. What do I mean by that? First of all, I can say that I believe that everything that we should do with all of our might. I say this to every young person, my children, and I try to keep this principle in my life. Everything we do as unto the Lord, and we do it with all of our might. But one thing in particular that the mentality that must be different is, hear me, the world is living for the here and now. The here and now, but the church is living for the there and the then. You hear what I'm saying? They're looking for the next good thing, and they're living their best life now. If you're living your best life now, you're probably not investing in that life which is to come. It was Jesus himself who said these words, "Any man who seeks to save his life will lose his life. But if you lose your life now for the gospel's sake, you're going to gain your life in that world which is to come." What are you saying, preacher? I am saying simply,
everything that you and I as children of God for that world which is to come. So everything that we do, we're living for that world. We're not working for our salvation. Do you hear me? I believe we're saved by grace through faith. But I can tell you, when you get the real thing, there's going to be an evidence of works. James said, you show me your faith, I'll show you my faith by my works. Faith without works is dead. I want you to think about it today. Everything we do down here is just preparation for eternity. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Listen, most Christians focus too much on self-preservation. Again, it's just that carnal, everyday thinking. What can I get? It's all about 80, 90 years. Think about how short that is in the light of eternity. Listen, how can you compare 70, 80, 90 years on this earth to trillions and trillions of years into eternity? Listen, there is no comparison. So what am I saying today? What I'm saying is, this morning, today, we need to make up our mind that we're going to go all out for God. We're going to give everything to Him. Sell out, lock, stock, and barrel. It's high time that we get serious with God. The handwriting is on the wall, and Jesus is about to come back for a church that's made herself ready. It's time that we give everything for the kingdom of God. Why do we play it safe? Why does the church play it safe? Why don't we go all out for God? I can tell you, first and foremost, we have lost sight of eternity. We are so caught up with the natural, with the temporal, what we're going to get next week, our plans next year, and the year, making some funeral plans. You better be making eternal plans before you care more about the things that you're going to have, your retirement, or where you're going on vacation next year. It's time that we get focused on the things of God. Can I get a witness in this house today? We've lost sight of eternity. We've focused too much on the things of this earth. We started out right, but oftentimes we can end up wrong. I want to make an appeal to every person in this house today. Listen to me. I want to make an appeal to you to go all out for God today. Listen, church is not a spectator sport. We're not called to just sit on the pew and spectate and just called to amen. But hey, keep on amen. And me, oh, listen to me. It's not a spectator sport. If you're in the church is happening wherever you are. Listen, we're not just in church when we come into the building. No, you take the church out of the four walls of the building to the restaurant, into the highways and byways, wherever you are. Listen, it was Leonard Ravenhill, who said this: religion is hanging around the cross, but Christianity is getting on the cross. It is dying with Christ. Listen, you and I have got to realize this today, that we are sitting on the brink, on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. You know, when the School of Ministry, they'll be here in a couple of months, the new group, whenever they were on tour, and on the way back from California, they went to the Grand Canyon. And you know, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. They sent me some pictures, and I was a little bit envious of them being at the Grand Canyon. But they began to tell me, Pastor, pictures could not describe the beauty of the Grand Canyon. They said, we looked across that canyon and all the things that we see, the different colors as the sun was going down. And you know, whenever you go to a certain place that's so beautiful, you can take all the pictures you want to take, but pictures cannot even tell the story. And they said that there's no vibe what was there. Now listen, their perception is better than my perception because they were there. But I've read stories about how to get a better perception of the Grand Canyon. They say there's certain areas of the Grand Canyon that you can hike down into the canyon, go across, and hike back up. It's a 23-mile hike. And I was thinking about this as I was reading this article about perception. You know, they call those who go to the Grand Canyon that just hang around the rim, and just look at the edge of the canyon. They call those kind of people rim huggers. But there's a difference in being a rim hugger and a hiker. Whenever you're a hiker, you get down to where you can experience. You touch the rocks. You can see down where the river's running through the canyon. Your perception, now listen, their perception's better than mine because I haven't never been out along the sides of the rim. But listen, whenever you become a hiker, you get down into the canyon. You know what the thing is all about. The difference in a rim hugger, they may have some knowledge. Are you with me today? But a hiker has firsthand experience. In other words, rim huggers talk the talk, but a hiker can walk the walk. Oh, listen, you and I, as children of God, we can have an understanding of the Word of God. We can get in and we can know about God, but it's time that we get down and know this God that the Word talks about. I don't want to just read Him about Him on pages. I don't just want to hear about revivals at Azusa Street. I want to experience the Shekinah glory of God. I want to see the power of Pentecost one more time. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to be a rim hugger. Talk with him, know him. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I want to hold him close as John the Beloved held him and they heard his heartbeat. I want to hear the heartbeat of Almighty God, and it's time that we get out of our pew, on our feet, and begin to walk the walk as a child of God. There's somebody who needs to hear this gospel. There's somebody who needs you and I to get out of our comfort zone. Here's the point. There's a world of difference between knowing about God and knowing God. That's when this thought crossed my mind that most Christians are rim huggers. Woo! Come on, church. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We all want to spend eternity with God. We just don't want to spend time with Him. Next, more than we study the text. Our eyes aren't fixed on Jesus. They're fixed on our iPhones and iPads. Emphasis on I. Come on, church. Then we wonder why God is so distant. It's because we're hugging the rim. We wonder why we're bored with our faith. It's because we're holding out. Oh, listen, we're not going all out for God. We've been holding out on God. Oh, He longs to walk with us and talk with us and call us His own. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's time, listen, ladies and gentlemen, that we move out from among the rim and get down in the canyon. Oh, listen, we want joy without sacrifice. We want character without suffering. We want success without failure. We want gain without the pain. But I can tell you, no pain, no gain in the kingdom of God or in life. We want a testimony without a test. We want it all. We get whatever you put into it. If you will put in this kingdom everything, God's going to bless you coming in and He's going to bless you going out. If you want more of God, you can have more of God. You have as much of God as you want of God. I don't want to be a rim hugger. I want to be a hiker in this kingdom. Listen, the character of God is like a Grand Canyon. The words of A.W. Tozer, listen to what he says. Eternity will not be long enough to learn all that He is or to praise Him for all that He has done. But you don't have to get to hike into the depths of His power and the heights of His holiness. You have to go rim to rim with God. And if you take a single Spirit-led step of faith in God's direction, spiritual adrenaline will surge through your veins once again. Listen, some of you are wondering why you're just going through the motions of religion. You don't have to go through the motions of religion. If you'll just get hungry again, if you'll take a step towards Him, He'll take a step towards you. If you hunger for Him, He will fill you with the good things of God. I'm here to tell you today, it's not too late for you to get what God has destined you to get and to be what God has destined you to be. We are the church of the living God, and He has commissioned us to do a work in this last hour. Harvest Time Church, please know that all churches, many across this nation and around this world, They looking. They spectating. But there's others that are doing a work for God. They feel they have done their religious duty by sitting and listening. Listen, I know what the word says. We are commanded to come to the house of God. Hebrews chapter 10, he says that we are not to forsake the gathering of yourselves in assembly. It's a command to come to the house of God. Listen, if you think that you're going to serve God and be a Christian and just stay at the house, I can tell you got another thing coming. No, my Bible says to come together. The church, the way it's set up, this is not man's idea. This is God's idea. And we are a body that's neatly and jointly fit together. But the body has got to fulfill their role in the body. God's called you to do something. God's called me on our duty by just sitting and listening. We need the theoretical experience, but we need the theoretical to become experimental. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's one thing to know the Word of God. It's another thing to put the Word of God into practice in your life. One little old lady, she had a Bible, and everywhere throughout the Bible, her grandkids picked it up and it said, TP, initials, TP, all throughout the word. And the grandkids were confused. They said, Grandma, what is this? TP all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And she said, everywhere I got the TP is where it's been tested and proved because God's word works. I can tell you something. We need to move past the theoretical and get into the and anew. Until you experience something, it's just theoretical. But once you experience it, it becomes a reality. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can tell everybody what it's like to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. I can tell you, well, all of a sudden out of my belly when I was filled in 1996 came a river of living water. And I can try to explain to you that the Holy Ghost, I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. But listen to me, you'll never understand it until you get it. It's better felt than telt. Oh, if you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to tarry at an altar until you're endued with power one more time. It's better felt than telt. I can tell you, I need it in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. Leonard Ravenhill, they said to him, why is it that we need to be filled with the Spirit every single day? He said, because we leak. We need the Holy Ghost being filled in our lives every single day. What am I saying? It's time to go all out for God. That's what I'm saying. If you're a rim hugger, it's time to get. The phrase all out simply means maximum effort. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm preaching to you this morning on going all out for God. The word, the phrase all out means maximum effort. It means giving everything to God. It means giving 100%. Listen, it's loving God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind and your strength. Going all out for God. With this in mind, let's look at our text this morning. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, tells a wonderful story to illustrate the point. We know that Israel and the Philistines were in constant war with one another. They had the high ground. The Philistines were up on a cliff. They had Israel. They were outnumbered. The Bible gives this picture of what it means to go all out for God when you look at the life of Jonathan. But the story here in 1 Samuel chapter 14 reveals two kinds of people in the church world today. Saul, King Saul, represents one of those people, and Jonathan represents the other. One was a rim hugger, and one was a hiker. King Saul and his son. And during this particular battle, the Bible says, and we read it in this second verse of Scripture, that the battle was going on, and Saul, he looked around and he found a pomegranate tree to sit under. You know, Saul had a history of allowing somebody else to always fight his battles for him. You remember his life. He found a pomegranate tree and he just takes it easy in the midst of a major battle. Listen, God never called you to lay down in a battle. No, you're to fight. Mom and dad, you're to fight eternal life all the way to the end. I can just go ahead and tell you, child of God, you're going to fight all the way to the end. Well, I'm tired of fighting, Brother Matt. Let me tell you what the alternative is lay down and die and end up losing out with God. No, you got to fight the good fight all the way to the end. Here it is. He found a pomegranate tree. He sat under it, and I wouldn't doubt it if he had one of his men just fanning him under the pomegranate tree. But Jonathan, his son, was a little bit different. He wanted to go all out for God. Jonathan has always had a different spirit than his dad did. Whenever you begin to compare these two lives, you wonder how in the world they came from the same gene pool. This man, one was a spectator and one was a participator. One was underneath the pomegranate tree and one knew that the Philistines had the high ground. So he looks over, Jonathan did, at his with me to the high ground and fight the Philistines. Well, the armor bearer agreed that he would do so, and they begin to climb the cliff. Here we see two different pictures of two different individuals in the church world today. One operating in fear, anxiety, apprehension, and the other one knowing who the God that they serve is. He's operating in faith. Listen to me today. And it doesn't matter what the situation is in your life. We face fear, every one of us, every single day. And we've got to make a decision. Are you going to let it destroy you? Or are you going to come against it? You will live defensively, reactively, cautiously, but living by faith. It's playing offense with life. And it's the difference between holding on to God and going all out for God. I don't just want to hold on. I don't want to just survive. No, as a child of God, I want to thrive. I don't have to be a victim. No, why? Because Jesus is my victor. He's already overcome death, hell, and the grave. I don't have a sad song to sing, nor do I have to worry about the devil. Why? Because my elder brother Jesus has already made a show of the devil openly triumphing over him through the cross. Don't let fear dictate your decisions. It only takes 20 seconds of insane courage to change your life. Believe in God. Listen, that's how long it took Peter to get out of the boat. That's about how long it probably took David to charge Goliath, maybe 20 seconds. I believe it's how long it probably took Jonathan to decide to climb that cliff, get up to the high ground, to the Philistines, not fearing the repercussions. Listen, as the church of the living God setting on the very threshold of the coming of the Lord, listen, that world's not afraid to push that garbage down our throat. It's time that the church of the living God stand and be counted. It's time that we open our mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. It's time that you and I, as the church, climb the cliff. I'm tired of being a rim hugger. I want to get down in the battle. I want to get down in the warfare. I can tell you, God will strengthen you and he'll fight in your behalf. 20 seconds is probably all it took Jonathan to make the decision to fight the Philistines, because he was climbing a cliff. He was climbing a cliff to the high ground. You know, in warfare, when the enemy has the high ground, they have the advantage. This was not a very naturally brilliant military strategy. And I know it seemed a little crazy. And it seems a little crazy when the church begins to do something for God. Anytime that you set out to do anything for God, God speaks to you and you do it, they're going to think you're crazy. Your family members may think you're crazy. Listen, it may seem a little crazy to go to Honduras, but I can tell you this, I would rather be a little bit crazy going to Honduras and doing the will of God. If it's Mexico, if it's another country, if God speaks to you, I'm safer in Honduras than you are in Tyler, Texas. Oh, listen to me today. We've got to hear the voice of God. Don't be surprised if people mock you, criticize you, and laugh at you when you do something crazy. If you're not being criticized, there's probably a reason for concern. Get over it, the criticism, and get on with it. Get over it and get on with it. Well, they're talking about me. They're laughing about me. Listen, I was liberated from people's opinion. Not completely, but I got a big time breakthrough as a new Christian whenever I read the Word of God when Jesus said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. Listen to me. When I read those words, I realized I don't have to try to please man. I don't have to try to make friends with the world. No, I need to be in right relationship with God. I want to love the world. I want to reach out to them. I want to win the lost. But I am not going to try to please man and God at the same time. It's not going to happen. You just need to make up your mind. You're going to go all out for God, and you're going to make family members mad. You may make the boss mad, but go ahead and do it anyway. I can tell you, God will bless you when you go all out for God. David's brothers criticized him for challenging Goliath. But David made the headlines while his brothers were sitting on the sidelines. Made the headlines while they're sitting on the sidelines. Listen, I know the naughtiness of your heart, they said to him. You're coming down here to see the battle. And David looked at his brothers and said, come on, guys. Is there not a cause to fight this giant? Well, I can tell you something. The church of a living God needs to open our spiritual eyes and see the cause in this hour. We are right there ready to meet God. I don't want to stand before God and him ask me the question, why were you so passive? Why did you sit down and just enjoy the grandkids? And I pray I get some grandkids before long. But why did you just enjoy life? No, I called you to do a work in the kingdom of God. Listen, those things are okay. Those things are nice. But it's time that we get serious with God. To be perfectly honest, David's plan of climbing the cliff, it seemed like a dumb plan. It was probably one of the worst. Exposes himself to the enemy in broad daylight and concedes the high ground. Listen to me. I'm not for sure which is more dangerous, climbing that cliff or fighting the Philistines. Or fighting the Philistines after he climbed the cliff. He's wore out. You ever done any rock climbing or those wall climbs? You know they have those. I don't do that kind of stuff. I'm just asking if you have. But I can tell you, I bet you that he was wore out. I mean, he was probably wore out after he climbed that wall. Then he picked up a sword and he started wielding the sword and he defeated the enemy. Oh, listen to me. You can imagine what he's going through. So what motivated Jonathan to do this? What caused a man to have the tenacity, triggered the 26 seconds of insane courage? I can tell you what it was. One statement reveals everything that I need to know, and one statement reveals everything you need to know. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 14 and 6. It's a little statement right in the middle of that verse of scripture. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. Here it is. It may be that the Lord will work for us. Oh, that's all you need to know. When God calls you to do something, all you have to think to yourself is, it may be that the Lord will work for us. That's seeing the glass half full. Most people see the glass half empty. Well, what if he don't work for us? What if he does? No risk, no reward. Listen, it may be that the Lord will work for us. I think most people operate of the opposite mentality, and it's this: perhaps the Lord won't work on our behalf. They let fear dictate their decisions instead of faith. So they end up under a pomegranate tree on the outskirts of Gibeah. There's a lot of people in the church world today. Well, what if he doesn't work? What if it falls through? And what if I get up to speak and I forget who I am? I've been there, done that. You'll remember it one day or another. But listen, you don't have to worry about those things. When you ask yourself those questions constantly, well, what if he doesn't? You're going to live in a spirit of fear and a do-nothing attitude. God help us in this hour to come out. Listen, a lack of guts is really a lack of faith. Well, you don't have any guts. I can tell you what that's interpreted. You don't have any faith. There was one man that came to Brother Clendenin and said, listen, my dad's been pastoring for years, and he just slowly changed what he was throughout the years. And I asked my dad, this young, you used to make such a stand, Dad. And his dad said, I'm just tired, son. Brother Clinton looked at that boy and he said, no, sir. He said, that's not being tired. He said, that's a lack of faith. What it all comes down to is, do you believe what this book says? Do you really believe that eternity is right around the corner? Listen, cliff climbers, no one step of faith can create a tipping point that changes not only their destiny, but the course of history. Listen, every day you are writing history. Every decision you make, every direction you go, your life affects another life. Your decisions affect another decisions, and too many lives depend on what you do and what I do. We are writing history every day, and that's precisely what happened in the wake of Jonathan's bold move. So on the day the Lord saved Israel, decision, that's all it takes, to stand up and be counted, to stand up and proclaim the gospel, to stand up for what's right, to go out of your comfort zone, to do what God has told you to do. Listen, wherever the Lord's speaking to you, it's applicable for you, because this can be interpreted hundreds of different ways. But I can tell you this, one thing is for certain, we all need to go all out for God every single time. He went to that cross 2,000 years ago, died a transgressor's death for me. It's the least I can do to live for him and to give him everything I got for the kingdom of God. Matt Gregory only has a certain amount of time on this earth, and he's done. The clock's ticking. Every second, I'm losing time. I don't want to wonder, what if I did this? Or what if I did that? Listen, the longest regrets are the inaction regrets. The things you did not do it. Now listen, if you have a lot of regrets, we have to move on. And I have regrets, you have regrets, we have to move past those things. But listen, the would-haves, the could-haves, the should-haves, but didn't. I don't want to live with constant regrets, because you'll never know what might have been. Those regrets will haunt you till the day you die. But this day could be that day, and it all takes one defining decision. And that is, will you go all the way out for God? Will you allow fear to dictate your life? Or will you allow faith to rise up within you and you do the will of God? Let me make it very clear. There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who ask why, and those who ask, hey, why not? Which one are you? Why or why not? Why not? Do you really want to go all out for God? Why people look for excuses? Why people? Why people look for excuses? Why not people look for opportunities? Why people are afraid of making mistakes? Why not people don't want to miss out on God-ordained opportunities? Let me ask you a question. Are you hearing me preach today? Jonathan picked a fight with the Philistines. He said, could it be that the Lord would fight for us? He understood, Jonathan did, that there was a cause worth fighting for. We're playing it too safe. You're playing it too safe. I'm playing it too safe. It's time. Now, does that mean that we don't need the mind of God? But Jonathan picked a fight with the Philistines. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired of backing down to the enemy. So what did he do? He stood up. He was tired of settling for the status quo, so he decided to disrupt the status quo. How did he pick a fight? It starts when we are on our knees. I can tell you the greatest warfare, where when you get on your knees and humbly before God, listen, we make sure everything's right between us and God, and then we begin to make our petitions. There is power in prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you stop praying. Well, Brother Matt, I haven't seen the answer come. I've been praying for years. You hold on to God. Oftentimes, we stop praying one day short of the miracle. You hold on to God's unchanging hand, and you're about to see God manifest his glory again. It may not come exactly when you want it to, but and he comes and he answers the call right in the nick of time. Prayer is picking a fight with the enemy. It's spiritual warfare. That's why he tries to stop us from praying, Can someone come to the piano? That's why he tries to stop us from praying. Everything will take place when you make up your mind you're going to pray. What happens? Life happens. Phone calls. Babies cry. Pipes bust. Coffee maker is broke. How am I going to get in the spirit of prayer without a cup of coffee? It's a devil. I think some of us have forgotten that we were born in the middle of a battlefield. The battle between good and evil rages all around us all the time. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus rallied the troops and sounded the charge with a call of spiritual church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Boy, that ought to make you shout right there. But that's not all. Gates are a defensive measure. That means by definition, we're called to play offense. David ran through the troops and leaped over the wall. He wasn't on the defense. He said, devil, I'm not just going to play defense. I'm coming after you. It's time that we stop allowing the devil to run roughshod over our personal lives, the church, our family. Listen, we can not only have a defense, which is the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. No, but we have a shield of faith. But it's time that we get on offense and start doing something in the kingdom of God. Faithfulness is hard in taking back enemy territory that belongs to God. Listen to me. I'm afraid we've reduced righteousness to the absence of wrongness. But goodness is not the absence of badness. You can do nothing wrong and still do nothing right. There's a difference. Listen, there's a thing called the sin of commission and the sin of omission. What is commission? It's willfully doing things wrong that you know that you're not supposed to do. If the Bible says it's wrong and you do it, it's a sin of commission. What is the sin of omission? It's when we know to do something good, but we don't do it. They're both sin. We need to adopt a new mindset. You ever heard the terminology, ready, set, go? We need to flip it around backwards. HTC, we need the mindset, go, set, ready. And I'm not dyslexic. Please don't think that. That may seem backwards, but it's the only way we can keep moving forward. Why is it used with little kids a lot of times? And we have two kids outside. They're about to race. Ready, set, go. But the church needs to be completely opposite. Go, set, ready. What does that mean? If we wait till we're ready, we'll be waiting the rest of our lives. We'll never have the human resources or the financial resources to do what God has called us to do. And if we do, our dream is too small. Do you hear me? If you have the resources, when God puts it in your spirit, your dream's probably too small. The vision's too small. Everything that we've done around here, the Lord has speak to us and we just move with it way before we ever have the answers. World Harvest Missions, I'm going to help the poor all over this world. Brother Matt, how are you going to get the money? I don't know. I just know the Lord spoke to us. And I can go, set, ready. I'm not waiting to be ready. I'm just going to go whenever He speaks to go. Amen? Well, I'm not ready. I'm not qualified to do all of these things. Perfect. Our school has been privileged, our church and our school has been privileged to help probably 6 or 7 different churches start Christian schools in the last 10 years. And every time they'll say this, I just don't know if we're ready. I said, perfect, you're ready. Go, set, ready. Don't wait till you're ready. Go whenever the Spirit of the Lord. Can we stand? Do we need to make sure it's the will of God before we go? You better know we do. You pray sensitive to the Spirit of God. We must seek God's face and to hear His voice. But I want everyone in this house to know that every one of us is going to choose a dictator in our life. You can let fear dictate your decisions, or you can let faith dictate your decisions. Whom or what you allow to dictate will ultimately determine whether you're a rim hugger or a cliff climber. And I want you to know that there's a different level, a different threshold in this house when it comes to risk taking. And that everyone has a different gift, and their brain's wired up differently. I'm a risk taker. I am. I got one life. I got one life. I'm 45. I don't know how long. I pray that I'm like Caleb and I have strength into my latter years if Jesus tarries. I got one life. I'm consumed with this gospel to win the lost. I want to be so consumed. I want to be so full of God's Spirit. Listen, I'm not as full as I need to be. I don't have as much of Jesus as I need to have of Jesus. But I want to burn with a passion. I want to live these final days in the closing hours of the dispensation of grace, doing the will of God, fulfilling the plan of God. Well, Brother Matt, what if this happens and what if that happens? What if you get COVID? That's okay. I'll get over it or I'll die. I'm not being insensitive. Have you noticed the flu deaths statistically almost eliminated last year? Isn't that something? COVID just ate up that flu. Is COVID dangerous? Yes. Yes, people have passed away from COVID, but it ain't like what they said it was. Well, what if? I'm not going to live my life on a bunch of what ifs. I'm not going to allow fear to dictate, well, what if we go there? Or what if we come to church and we get COVID? Listen, if that's you, then you, that's okay. I'm not bashing anyone in this house, but I refuse to let this world or all the fearful things dictate or determine what I do for God. Listen, we got one life. Can you imagine standing before the Almighty God and Him say to us, why that I've called you to do? Listen, I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I close with this one statement. On October the 31st, the year 1517, a monk named Martin Luther picked a fight with the religious establishment. Martin Luther had the audacity to challenge the status quo by attacking the selling of indulgences. Luther posted a 95 thesis on the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and ignited the Protestant Reformation. That's why we're called Protestants today, because we're saved by grace. Amen? We are saved by grace. He brought many things back to the church. I don't think Martin Luther knew he was making history as he made history, but our small acts of courage always have a domino effect. His had a domino effect. Ours will have a domino effect. I preach it all the time, making a stand, taking a stand. When you stand up in the midst of this wicked and perverse, you refuse to allow fear to dominate and dictate all your decisions. There is a domino effect in the rim of the Spirit. And I can tell you the course of history has changed. It costs too much, ladies and gentlemen, to be out of the will of God. It's time that we pray, get the mind of God, and do something in this last hour. Why don't we go out lock, stock, and barrel? Why don't we go out with it floored all the way down? Listen, I like a little power in a car, don't you? Well, listen, the power of Pentecost has given us a power over all the power of the enemy. We can put the pedal all the way to the floor and we can see great things in this last hour. But you got to take the first step. Climb the cliff. Pick a fight with the enemy. Perhaps the Lord will work on your behalf. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you. Oh God, we want to go all out for God. We want to do something in this last hour that's lasting, that's impressionable. Lord, we want to be used of you. Hide us behind the cross that we are not seen, but you are seen through us. Lord, I'm asking you to kill out this flesh, that we would never ever desire the glory that only belongs to God, but we want to work for you. Lord, we want to sell out to you. We want to go all out for you. Lord, give us a tenacity this morning in our spirits. Change us and transform us by the power that you've given the church. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If there's anybody in this house today, I'm going to give an altar call for salvation. You're away from God. I want you to know before I ask you to raise your hand, God loves you. He died 2,000 years ago on a cross because he loves you. If you're feeling conviction, that uncomfortable feeling in your soul, that is the greatest. No man can come unto God unless the Spirit of God draws that man. So what you're feeling is the love of God, but it's uncomfortable. My heart's beating out of my chest. I feel conviction. That's the love of God. You can't get saved without feeling that feeling, without him drawing you by his Spirit. If you're feeling that feeling today, he's telling you, I love you. I want you to come back to me. Listen, here's what he'll do. If you'll respond to this altar call and you'll repent of your sins, he'll cleanse you in his precious blood and he'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll transform you. Very quickly, I'm not going to tarry long on this part of the service. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you're away from God, you're a sinner, you're backslid, I want you to lift your hand high. I want to pray with you. Anyone in this house, any backsliders in this house, praise the name of the Lord. Everyone saved and ready to meet God. So now, it's time to go all out for God. What are you doing? What are you doing for God? Brother Matt, I'm faithful to the house of God. Praise the Lord. I love faithful people to show up all the services. I'm paying my tithe. Thank God the church operates off the tithe. Take it a step further. Do you have a prayer life? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you taking a stand? Are you hearing his voice to go and to do? Listen, to go and to do doesn't mean that you go off and become a missionary. To go and to do is when you're at the job, you go and do. When you're at the restaurant, you go and do. To your neighbors next door, you go and do. It's time, church, that we go all out for God. I'm going to ask everyone who can, that's physically able, to come and stand across this front. Please move in very close to the front of the altar. Get everyone in this house. I'm going to help you. I want to pray with you. We're going to pray one for another. I'm haunted by the words. Either, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Or he's going to say, Matt Gregory, Why? You made excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse. Listen, there's always an excuse to not do what God's called us to do. We can always make an excuse. You can always find an excuse. If you want an excuse, there's always an excuse. He's either going to say, Matt Gregory, well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. Or he's going to say, why? And then he will respond after that question with, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. I don't want to take the gift and leave the giver. I want it all. I want all of Jesus. Listen, Hebrews says, how shall we escape salvation? What is he saying? If you take the Prince of Life, the Word of God, everything that we have, and we just neglect it every day, how are we going to escape? We're not going to escape. It's called the sin of omission, doing nothing with what God has given us. You take a garden a gardener has taken 4 acres from the wilderness. He's got a barbed wire fence, 4 acres sectioned off. He's cut the trees off. He's pulled all the weeds up. It's a beautiful garden. If that gardener doesn't keep the perimeter of that fence line, that wilderness is going to take back from the gardener what he took from the wilderness. There's this thing called regeneration. We're going backwards. It's the sin of omission.
not taking care of what God's done in our lives. I want to go all out for God, don't you? Can we bow our heads, Father? Lord, this is your congregation. These are your people that you have purchased with the precious blood of Calvary's Lamb. Lord, I cry out to you today in this last hour. Lord, we don't want to be caught up with all of our retirement, other finances, all these other things. Lord, we want our focus first and foremost to be on you and the will of God and souls, eternity. Eternity's right around the corner. Oh God, help us to realize, to see what you see. Give us eyes to see in the eternity. Men and women lost without God that need a Savior. Lord, we have the answer. We have the remedy for the world's sickness. Help us, Holy Ghost. We have the remedy for the world's sickness. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, God.
What if I had given everything?
Thank you, Jesus.
Instead of
thank you, Jesus.
Through the
oh, yes, Lord.
I don't want to go one more day without your own.
Ask the Lord. Lord, I want to go all out for you. Empower me, oh God. Lord, I'm tired of just going through the motions. I'm tired of complaining. I'm tired of the lethargy. Lord, help us to fulfill the Great Commission in this last hour. We want to fulfill the Great Commission in going to all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature in the name of Jesus.